It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
We have Missouri Senator Roy Blunt joining us from Washington, D.C. this morning. Senator, welcome in.
Hey, Mark. Good to be with you this morning.
Yes, sir. Thanks thanks for giving us a little bit of time today and talk about what's going on up there in Washington. Every day, it's exhausting to watch the left react to this president.
Well, it is. You know, they have that Trump derangement syndrome, and it never goes away. They started talking during the impeachment trial about what they might find to impeach him on next, and it's just outrageous. The weakest two articles you could have possibly brought to the Senate, as we talked about before. You know, every president since George Washington has been accused by somebody in the Congress of abusing power, and every president since George Washington has been accused of not cooperating enough with the Congress, and there was just no there. We gave the president a chance to have his first fair hearing, and I think that solved the problem for most Americans, though frankly most Americans had dialed out long before we got to the Senate, because they knew what was going to happen and they knew why it was going to happen.
Yeah. I would agree with that. You know, in terms of what we're kind of back to regular business in the Senate now. I know that you guys took a vote on this war powers, restricting the president's war powers, and some Republicans crossed over and voted with the Democrats on that. I expect the president vetoes it. Where do you stand on that?
Well, he will veto it, and we'll override his veto. I think the president needs the flexibility that the president currently has to respond quickly, to do something like take advantage of the opportunity to get rid of Soleimani, the head of the terror network in Iran, the number one state sponsor of terror. I don't think it's coincidental that they got a head of steam up on this after that totally appropriate action was taken. And so Senator Hawley and I both voted against that. We both voted for in favor of the things that would have moved that in the right direction. But I don't know that you could have got it far enough in the right direction. I just think it was unnecessary. And we did have 8 Republicans vote with all the Democrats. But the vote to override the president's veto obviously be well short of the 2/3 it would take to override the president's veto. So he'll continue to have these important flexibility powers that a president needs in the world we live in today.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I was a little surprised, but I mean, that's a debate even among Republicans on the Republican side. What risk we have getting involved in an Iran or a North Korea right now. But ultimately, whether it's a Republican or Democrat in the office of the president, you have to respect that it's the co-equal branches of government and the fact that that person is the commander in chief.
Yeah, and that person has to be able to act quickly. This is not that we are not at war with Iran, as many of the speakers on the floor said we were. We weren't close to being at war with Iran. The Iranians know enough to know that they don't want to engage. I'm sure they were stunned when the president took the actions he took after the Iranians were behind an attack on our embassy, after they had killed one American and could have easily killed 5, 4 other Americans were hurt in that attack that occurred right before the president took the action he took. But not only was it totally justified, it would have not allowed any kind of consultation with the Congress. You know, when the President Obama was able to eliminate Osama bin Laden, the Republicans on the Intelligence Committee and the Republican leaders weren't notified of that. And every one of the Republicans at the time said, job well done. This needed to be done. if you would have notified too many people, it might have given the Pakistanis the warning they needed to warn bin Laden. And clearly the Democrats don't have the same view of either national security and are always too willing to make a political issue out of those things that enhance our national security.
Yeah, well said. And I'm sure that that the president appreciated your support on that issue. We're talking to Senator Roy Blunt, calling us this morning with an update on what's going on up there in Washington. You know, I've watched this debate over the sentencing of Roger Stone, and it's kind of devolved into whether or not people questioning Bill Barr's independence. Your fellow senator did this yesterday. Go to cut number six for me, please.
Attorney General Barr is not the attorney general for the people. He definitely acts like he's the attorney general for Trump.
That, of course, Mazie Hirono there from Hawaii with that comment. Tell me your position on this. I mean, clearly sometimes we all wish the president wouldn't tweet as much as he does, but to suggest that do you really think that his tweet had any influence on a decision on sentencing by the Department of Justice?
I don't. I don't think it had any decision at all on the main Justice Department looking at what I thought was an extraordinarily long sentence that the government was proposing for Roger Stone. Clearly, his activities were activities that are on the edge of what a lot of people do in politics. There was a penalty that would be appropriate there, but I was surprised when I heard the penalty. I was not surprised when I heard that the Attorney General was going to look at that and recommend less of a sentence. I've known Bill Barr a long time. I've known him, frankly, longer than I've known the president. And I think he's done a great job as attorney general. And over again, you've heard Democrats in the House and the Senate talk about his actions that I think are appropriate as if somehow they're impeachable. They apparently want to impeach everybody, and there was that discussion yesterday at all. He should be impeached for doing what the Attorney General's job is, which is to oversee the Justice Department, and we see something that's being proposed that's unreasonable to step in and make the reasonable decision to do something about it.
You know, Senator, the next thing that's going to be debated is the budget that the White House is about to send over. And, you know, I listened to the Bernie Sanders and the Elizabeth Warrens and some of the other folks on the left who want to spend. The president sent a budget over that for the first time in many years significantly would cut our deficit. And apparently, I'm told it's dead on arrival in this political environment. When do we stop the overspending?
Well, we've got some serious spending challenges. There's no doubt about that. And they're largely on the mandatory side of the budget, the side of the budget that's principally marked Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Some reforms in those programs need to happen. I've been willing to go in that direction for a long time, and the president suggested that recently that that's something we were going to have to look at. This is a budget that wouldn't balance for 15 years, and I know the president thinks that his budget won't balance in 15 years. And I do too, but our defense spending increases were absolutely necessary, in my view, and where the real money is spent, where almost 70% of the money is spent, is on the programs that if you meet the definition, you get the money, and some of those definitions just no longer fit the demographics of America, and we're going to have to sooner or later face up to that.
Right. No, I would agree. I just you know, some of the cuts the president, every time you try to cut something in Washington, somebody screams it's a draconian cut and children are going to starve, and we never get anywhere.
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting the other night at the State of the Union, one of the loudest groan and boo moments from Democrats in the State of the Union when the president says the economy is a lot better. And because the economy is a lot better, there are fewer people on food stamps. That should not be a booing moment. That should be another thing to applaud about, to get people moving from dependence on the government to dependence on a growing economy. And you know, the president has incredible things to talk about because of the vote on war powers. I didn't get to make the speech on the floor I wanted to make this week on this topic. I did talk about another organ donor topic that Senator Moran and I went to the floor on. But one of the charts I had with me this week was a recent Gallup poll where 90% of Americans are satisfied with their current life. Now, that is a number that nobody has ever seen before, in my view. I think last week it was 84 or 86%, and that was the first time the number had ever been that high. And, you know, the president's regulatory policies, the tax policies he worked with the Congress to change, and now the trade environment creates an economy. It's a second chance economy where people who have not been at work can get a job, where people who are leaving jail or prison with any demonstrable skill set have a better chance of going to work than any time in the country's history, where we have more jobs available than people for work at the first time since those figures were kept together. And we're in about the 20th month of net now. And this economy is incredible, and it should allow us to look at some of the programs that were put in place when the economy was not doing what it was doing. I think people on food stamps, that number almost doubled. It certainly increased dramatically during the Obama administration, and the president's beginning to see some of that kind of spending able to head in another direction, and I look forward to helping him with that.
Well, I appreciate that, Senator Blunt. You know, finally, before I let you go, I have to ask, because I want to keep celebrating the successes that I see there in the Senate. One of them is in these judgeships. You guys have moved, what, five or six more since the end of impeachment?
We did, and one of them was a district judge for Eastern District of Missouri in St. Louis. Matt Schlepp was confirmed this week. He actually doesn't take that judgeship for a couple of months because it's based on Judge Steve Limbaugh taking senior status, and we went ahead and moved with that one. We filled a circuit judge vacancy right at 30% of all the circuit judges. That's the Court of Appeals right below the Supreme Court, are judges that have been appointed by, nominated by President Trump, confirmed by this Senate. They're young, they're hopefully healthy, and they're constitutional conservatives, and that will make a difference for a long time. Just like on the Supreme Court, you know, we've talked about this so many times, Mark, where the two judges that President Trump's had a chance to replace were on the court for 30 years, 15 years in one case and 13 in another case after Ronald Reagan died, let alone the 15 years after he left the White House. So this is a chance for a president and a Senate to have a real opportunity to make long-term choices. I led the fight to change the debate time on many of these presidential appointments from 30 hours that the Democrats were insisting on and using an average of 23 minutes to 2 hours. And that's allowed us to get district judges confirmed, to get people below the cabinet level confirmed with a debate of a couple of hours. And we never take the 2 hours. But the Democrats for 2 years insisted on 30 hours for virtually every appointment. I tried to change it in those first 2 years, and we only had 49 of our 51 Republicans willing to make that change. But when we got 53 Republicans, suddenly we had 51 of them, a majority willing to step up and say, no, we're not going to let the president or the Senate continue to be taken advantage of by this abuse of power. And so we're getting those things done in a way that are going to impact the country for a long time.
Well, Senator Blunt, we appreciate that. I have to ask this question because I heard a noise in the background. Do you have a dog with you?
I do. Max Blunt goes to work with me about one or two days a week, and he is good for the office.
I'll bet he is. I thought I heard a dog growl. I'm like, was that a dog growling in the background? That's fantastic.
What a good boy.
Exactly. Good to talk to both of you. I will see you in the studio soon, I hope.
Yes, sir. We appreciate that.
Get more at 971talk.com.